ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
All right. Fresh from a weekend of cherries, delicious stone fruit in central Otago.
And then fresh in the mind of Kim.com now engaged and expecting again.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That came from nowhere. It's a name I hadn't heard from a while. And just then in the news and they were Kim.com, I was like, oh, yeah, that guy.
I saw rumours that they were engaged. I didn't know that she was expecting.
And so they're getting married in
a wedding in November.
Oof, that was all go, wasn't it?
Is that going to beat? Is that going to beat Richie and Gemma for the wedding of the year?
Oh no!
I mean, it'll be a spectacle, but
yeah, not. Nah, I don't think. I don't.
Wait, does he have much money left? Because he's spent it all, hasn't he, on his defence? Or they took it all off him, so he probably won't be able to have a giraffe.
Yeah, maybe
have money.
Traditionally, the woman's family stumps up a bit of cash, so I honestly don't know. It's not even a name I'd thought of for quite some time, so I don't know where he's sitting with it, but congratulations, regardless. Nevertheless.
Yeah.
Nevertheless. Look, speaking of our trip to Central Otago, if we could bounce back to that, stone fruit. I got a little Tupperware full of stone fruit.
I think I need a break. It's too much of a good thing, if you know what I mean.
I pooped. I didn't poop over the weekend. I pooped when I got home. I'm a bit of a comfort pooper.
Okay.
I'll only poop at home. Woo! Weekend of stone fruit. That was an exhilarating experience. I got a little sweat on the brow.
Did you?
Coming up, I've found a list. This isn't good news for us guys. Of the most psychopathic jobs and the least psychopathic jobs. So these are jobs that people have.
So does it make them psychopathic, or you're drawn to these jobs if you have psychopathic tendencies?
Yeah, it's that one.
High percentage of psychos in your
industry.
You have to pre-psycho.
Yeah, it's not good for radio.
Oh.
I'll just say right away.
Last week we were number 10 on the most stressful jobs.
Yeah.
On a list of the most stressful jobs, and that was good. That was been like, see?
Yeah, I think I know a few psychos in this industry.
That's what we're actually bringing the average psychoness down.
Down, yeah.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
All right, you lot, listen up. It's story time.
Story time. I've got three news headlines from unusual, weird, interesting news stories around the world. Vaughn and Megan have to pick one out of the three. The others are deleted. Headline one, guys double bad luck. Headline two, 109-year-old's key to a long life. And headline three, Madrid police seeking too many mice.
Mini mice. Madrid police.
Yes.
The 109-year-old, she's probably like, oh, I just said she. It could be a he. Hey. He or she's probably
so
like,
sexist.
No, but you're right, though.
You're right, though. It's always the older woman.
It's got the statistics to back it up.
Yeah.
We don't live as long, do we?
Is it like whiskey and six?
It is a woman. She's a woman.
Okay.
Quite into hearing the secrets to a long life.
Same.
You want to hear that?
Yes, please.
Because I read an article, vegetarians live 5 years longer or something.
Right.
But it's the bad 5 years. It's right, like the last 5 years, which like...
you're weighing yourself and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's an unenjoyable 5 years. Like that, if you're going to lose 5 years, it'd be different if it said vegetarians...
get 5 great years in their
20s. Yeah,
5 great
vegetarians
single years.
Now get double the 20s. That'd be... then I'd be like, okay.
Okay.
It's too late.
I'll give them
the 30s, but you'd have to get into it early, and then you get double the amount of 20s, but you don't.
Yeah.
Just get like a couple more 80s and other sting ones.
You see a story like this every couple of weeks, and they are always like, one of them's smoking all the time, one of them's drinking all the time.
Yeah, there's always like whiskeys.
There doesn't really seem to be any kind of trend, but this 109-year-old says... I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. She's 109. She's from Southern Illinois. And she has just
Illinois.
I do that every time. She's just celebrated her 109th birthday. She was born in 1908.
Wow.
Far out.
1908.
So she's super healthy.
So she says, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life.
Okay.
I never drank liquor in a day in my life. And I've had a husband for 43 years.
That's way under half of her life.
Well, yeah, he must have died. I'm guessing he died and left her for a long time.
It's amazing about those old people. Like, this sounds a little bit grim, but when you're at a grave, when you're at a cemetery.
Yeah.
And then they do those shared plots.
Oh, yeah.
And they, so they put one big headstone in, and when old mate dies, they put him on one half.
Yep.
And I remember seeing one, it was blank, so she was obviously still alive. And he died in like 1978.
Or she didn't have the heart to tell him she didn't want to be buried next to him.
Oh, yeah. But then what happens if, like, he obviously died in, like, his 50s.
Yeah.
That's plenty of time for her to remarry. What do you do with new husband? Do
I've
you plop him on top?
I've always wondered that. So, first husband, you, second husband. You're in a husband sandwich.
Double-decker grave for both your husbands? Could you do a double-decker grave if you're side
you
by side?
Yeah. Or you put them on the other side and then with an arrow saying second husband this way.
Yeah.
MFM.
Yeah. Her other secret, she loves bacon.
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 Really?
That's what she's saying is the key.
Paleo.
That's the pork product.
Haley, yeah. Bacon, the pork product.
Not baking as in like she makes cakes for folks.
No. Bacon.
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 Well, that's
how often does she eat bacon?
Well, she says she eats it. It sounds like she eats it quite often.
Right.
If she can, daily. Every day.
Husband.
Yeah.
No ciggies. Bacon.
No, a husband for only half your life.
Yeah, right. Short-term husband.
Bacon every
bacon.
Day.
Bacon.
It doesn't mention a toy boy or if she had any flings at the rest home.
Right.
Doesn't sound like it. It sounds like she was committed to the one man.
Really? And then when he dies, she's bacon. Just like, I'm out of the game now.
She's like, I'm out. I'll just bury myself in bacon and move on.
Fair enough. Though.
Yeah.
If you were to give up sex for one thing, it would probably be bacon.
Definitely would be bacon.
Yeah. Fletch is like, look, I love bacon.
I have bacon every weekend.
I love bacon, but there's something else I have every weekend that's even more delicious.
All right, okay.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Latest data from the New Zealand Police, and this is probably prevalent from over the weekend as regards drink driving, but drink driving is no longer the number one finable offence in New Zealand. What has overtaken drink driving as the biggest driving...
Indicating.
Him? Oh, like not indicating.
Not indicating. No, something. It must be something we all do.
No. So drink driving, the fines for drink driving over the course of a year ending in September last year was $1.7 million. What was $2.5 million? Yep. You can say it. You're holding that up. People at home can't see that.
Mobile phones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Using your phone while driving is now the biggest moneymaker.
I would have thought that, like, they wouldn't have pulled as many people over for that. Like, they always have, like, checkpoints and stuff. But
yeah.
I know now with the new, like, limit, people just aren't bothering. Like, they used
to. Driving.
Yeah.
They used to have a few and then think they were all right, but they weren't. But now they're just kind of like, now, well, I can't afford to do anything.
Exactly.
Right. Which is great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
That's good stuff.
But you never see them. I mean, you've been pulled over. Been in the car when you were pulled over. For being on your phone. They had like someone with binoculars.
No, it wasn't an iPad. It wasn't even a phone. But then you were doing directions, weren't you?
No, it wasn't an iPad. It was a phone.
Oh.
It was the phone, right?
It was the phone,
we're talking about New Plymouth.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
So they had somebody watching.
Spotting.
Did they have to take photos though? Like how hard?
Do they need to prove it?
Yeah.
Maybe they just wait for you to be like, yeah, I was. And then you've put yourself in it.
So the amount of people, so 27,000 drink driving offences over the course of a year.
Last year?
Which is still a phenomenal amount, right? That's a lot every weekend and during the week. But 32,000, just shy of 33,000 mobile phone offences.
And what's the fine for that? 150?
I think so.
And you lose some demerit points as well.
There was that time I wasn't on my cell phone, but I was fiddling with my work swipe card.
Yep.
Because I always hang it from my...
Rear vision
mirror. Okay. So I was like trying to put it on there and I was holding it and I was like fumbling around and I got pulled over and they were like, we saw you on your phone. I was like, oh, you probably would have 90% of the time, but I was actually just fumbling with the card.
Right.
And they were like, oh, okay.
Did they believe it?
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's the thing. I don't know how hard you have to argue. I didn't really have to convince them. I said, oh, was it this? And I held it up and it was the white back of the swipe card and they're like, oh, yeah, it was a white phone, so...
Oh, but I wouldn't be able to admit that I was wrong. I'd say no.
If you're a police.
I'm writing a ticket.
Like a precautionary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do it because I wouldn't want to be embarrassed. That would embarrass me if I was a policeman.
Right, that you made a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not... As a police officer, you've kind of got to
get
be able to...
Get down on the ground. Get down on the ground, sir.
Okay.
Maybe you need to go and work in America.
Sir, get out of the car. You're being very argumentative.
Yeah. Your systemic... power abuse of your position is exactly what's wrong with the police in some foreign countries. It's what makes our police great, is they can't admit, oh, okay, right, it was just a quick glance, mate. Yeah. You're right. Just don't be on your phone.
Very
again,
lippy.
You go.
He'd get a taser. I'd taser him very quickly.
Don't tase me, bro. I wasn't doing anything. So there you go. If you've been done with a mobile phone offence.
And how much money do we make is in the middle of the Monopoly board?
$2.5 million on mobile phone offences. $1.7 million from drunk driving. Yeah, so 33,000 mobile phone offences.
Wow.
People being pulled over for using their mobile. That just must be easy pickings if you're a police officer now, eh? Because if I'm on the motorway, I look around and people are always on their phone. When we were coming back from the airport, remember that yesterday?
Yeah.
That girl changed lanes without looking, she was on her phone.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Got a list of the professions that attract the most and the least psychopaths.
So people in these professions aren't necessarily psychopaths. It's just the high percentage in those roles.
So we'll start with the least.
The least psychopathic.
The least psychopathic professions. Now, these are professions where they require human connection. They might require human connection.
Okay. Right.
So dealing with feelings, and most of them don't have a lot of power in these jobs. And so people that are psychopaths wouldn't be... This is what the findings have found.
Okay.
They wouldn't be drawn to these professions. Right.
They wouldn't fulfill their wants.
Number
and their
10.
Psychopathic
and
tendencies.
Maybe this list came out before the Ben Affleck movie, The Accountant, but accountants are at 10. This is a great movie.
Have you seen that? Yeah, I have. I loved it. It was really good, but I found accountancy was second.
Would you have liked to have seen more accountancy?
Bit more spreadsheet, and more profit loss, you know, liabilities, assets.
Accountancy was like the cover-up.
Yeah.
Wasn't, yeah.
Like, could he actually...
Spoiler alert, but I mean, the name probably did put a lot of people off going and seeing it.
Number 9 on the list, doctor. A creative artist is at 8.
I would have thought just doctor. I would have thought there would have been a bit of... Because you're playing with people's lives. You've got people's lives in your hands, and that's quite like a powerful thing. Like psychopaths get off on power.
Wasn't there a doctor in the UK that was knocking people off?
Yeah. Yeah, you hear about it every now and then.
Okay, so doctor was at 9, creative artist at 8, teacher at 7, then charity worker, beautician and stylist at 5, craftspeople, so like builders and stuff, place 4 on the list of least psychopathic jobs, therapist at 3, nurse at 2, and a care aide. At number 1 on the list of least psychopathic jobs.
Okay.
A couple in there that I would have thought maybe psychopaths would have been drawn to, like teachers.
Yeah.
That's quite powerful. You're
in positions of power.
Yeah.
You could really shape somebody's life. Okay. Well, so if that's the least psychopathic.
Okay. And we're on this list, but not yet.
Okay.
Number 10, civil servant. Because, you know, you quite often hear some of those can be bribed, can't they?
Oh, right. You
know, civil servants, like maybe working for the government.
Right.
In a government position.
Okay. So like maybe a mayor some power there.
Well, yeah, but you could be a civil. It's just any job working for the government. Okay. A taxpayer job, chef at number 9.
Oh, like they're all psychos.
Gordon Ramsay.
Oh,
Is he a psychopath?
Very yelly.
And they've got knives. Very close to knives. Clergy person. At number 8.
That's like
on
church
the list.
Folk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Police officer at number 7.
Really? Well, position of power.
Ultimate power, yeah.
Yep. At number 6 on the list of most psychopathic professions, journalist.
That's not us, though, eh?
Not us.
Really?
That's not us, no.
Journalists?
Yes.
Traditionally, though, they're the upholder of, aren't they? You know, they're supposed to hold everybody to account.
At number 5 on the list, a surgeon.
But doctors aren't, but surgeons are.
Yeah.
Because I guess it's the power of holding their life in their hand, not your average GP who just checks for ear infections.
Number 4 on the list, salesperson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what? No, we work a lot with them.
Right. I can see it.
Number 3 on the list of most psychopathic professions.
God, we're getting to the top here.
TV and radio people. Media people.
Ouch.
Most psychopathic.
Well, not us, but if you think of other people in the industry.
I will kill whoever wrote this list.
I'll murder them. I'll make life hell for the family they've left behind. And then I'll make their family my family.
I mean, you know, I'd say there's a lot of loopy people in radio, like a lot of crazies.
Yeah.
And like, you know, but that's what makes it fun.
But more
Such
than our
fun
fair
industry.
Share?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Number 2, lawyer on the list of most psychopathic professions.
Right.
And number 1. If you see your CEO at work today,
watch
out and don't steal their car park, because CEOs are number 1 on the list of most psychopathic professions.
And now presidents.
Yes.
Well, he's the CEO Trump. Of a country, really.
Yeah, right.
He's going to be running it like a... Wow. Yeah.
Our CEO's not a psychopath. There?
What's, no, our CEO is, or is he? Is he just so good at being like a psychopath so that we've got no idea that he's a psychopath? That's what psychopaths want.
Well, if we see him at the window with a knife, we'll know, won't we, I guess.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Let's chat about the weather, but not one of those chats that you have to fill some time when you're talking to older people and you don't know what to talk about.
Like your parents like on your parents, Skype.
You always got to ask what the weather's doing. She was pretty crazy over the weekend, and apparently there's more to come.
Oh,
I know,
really?
We're getting a little reprieve, a break, and then it's back. Do you know that photo that Kadrona posted of like a park bench and there was like a foot of snow on it? That was yesterday. And a friend Snapchatted the from Lake Wanaka. It's just snow
halfway down the hills.
Snow halfway down the hills, like winter.
That was a better single snowfall than they had most of last winter.
Yeah.
Which was short on snow.
Don't we only technically have 5 weeks left of summer?
You shush with summer facts.
End of February. Well, it wasn't just snow. There was flooding in Golden Bay. That flooding was probably the worst there, but there was flooding everywhere. West coast of the South Island got it as well. There was power cuts all over. I mean, apparently there's 1,200 Auckland homes this morning still without power.
We, driving back from the airport yesterday, I had to take a little detour because Vaughan took the wrong road. and so we were just in like kind of the suburbs around like Epsom, and there were like power lines down, and there were like contractors.
And there were ACT voters who couldn't get out and do ACT voter things with power because the power lines were down. But then Auckland, Taranaki also lost power for a while. Wellington shut Vivian Street on Sunday because windows were blown out of a building. Flights yesterday when we landed back in Auckland, all the flights to Wellington were put on hold because of how crazy it had got. So apparently there might be a little bit of a reprieve during today, but then she's back. Bad weather from Tuesday for the mid part of the week.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
It's the top six.
Top six tonight. Friends starts again on television.
from the start.
I've done some quick maths. There's 236 episodes of Friends.
Is there?
Yep. So 5 nights a week, because they don't do it on the weekends. So let's say 5 nights a week, 1 episode per night.
Yeah.
It takes just short of 11 months to play all of Friends.
So it's going to be the whole year.
It finished in 2004 and it's always on. So let's assume it's kind of back to back with a little bit of a space in between.
Yeah.
Over 12 and a half years, it's had about 13 or so run-throughs. This could be the 14th time Friends airs on our television in New Zealand.
Does Jennifer Aniston get money every time it's aired or no?
They, towards the end, they signed crazy syndication deals. So,
really?
Yeah. I don't know what they'd get. The money they'd be making off it still?
I just Googled this. So in season 3, they were earning $75,000 an episode each, the cast.
Yeah.
And by seasons 9 and 10, they were making $1 million.
Far out.
It's just got massive. Who's still doing really well acting-wise out of that?
Jennifer Aniston.
They always pop up every
probably the
Courtney
best.
Courtney Cox had Cougar Town and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so the top 6 Friends episode that would happen if it was still being made in 2017. Number 6, because you know how the ways the one where or the one when?
Yeah.
The one where Ross ends up in North Korea. Ross goes to China on an archaeological dig.
Yeah.
Catches the wrong train and ends up in North Korea.
Hilarious.
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 And lots of awkward, jolty movements from Ross. Number 5, the one where Monica goes on a Twitter rant.
She's
tired, she sees something that upsets her and she's a ranter, so Monica goes on a Twitter rant, it gets a lot of reposts, and goes a little viral. Number 4 on the top 6 Friends episodes that would happen if it was still being made, the one where Chandler becomes a global warming denier.
Oh, yeah.
He says something, but it's videoed and put online, and he becomes the face of climate change denial.
Even though
it was just his sarcasm, but it didn't come across like sarcasm. Number 3, the one where Rachel goes paleo.
And CrossFit.
Yeah. She gets into a bit of CrossFit. She just comes into the apartment looking absolutely ripped.
Yep.
And Joey goes, "How you doing?" And then she smacks him because she's all fully roided up.
Yeah.
Number two on the list of these top six Friends episodes that would happen if it was still being made. Number two, the one where Joey goes to a women's rights protest.
Oh, he would.
And with a sign that says, how you doing?
Yeah, he would too.
Kind of a fish out of water there. Yeah. It really turns on him. And the number one Friends episode that would happen if it was still being made in 2017, the one where Phoebe accidentally voted for Donald Trump.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's something she would do.
She made a mistake. She thought you put a cross next to the person you didn't want to be president.
I think you could. You've got a career in writing Friends if it ever comes back.
Yeah, like contemporary Friends episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or pretty much anything that could ever happen.
Yeah.
Either did happen in a Friends episode or could easily happen in a Friends episode. It starts tonight again on TVNZ if you need a...
if you haven't seen them all
see
already.
See it again.
Yeah. That's the top six.
Yep.
ZM's Fledge, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
There are some surprising new stats that have come out. Now, this is Britain. This is the UK, so not necessarily New Zealand, but I think it maybe is a trend.
Well, it's our motherland, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, that's what they call it.
This study is on affairs. So these are married people that are having affairs, and there's a new trend. It's not men, it's women. 55% of women are now having affairs, which is now more than men. So the
trend... Wait. 55% of people having affairs are women.
Yeah.
Or 55% of women have had affairs. Because that's to say,
55%
there's three women here, one
having,
and a half of you have had affairs.
55% of women, of people having affairs are women.
Are women, right, yeah. Okay.
So that's obviously risen since 20 years ago. They've found that there is a trend with age. It's mostly over 50s. They've got a very relaxed view on infidelity.
Mums are just going out and living it up.
So 13% have also considered it, women.
Right.
So those who aren't having affairs, 13% of those have considered doing it. Now, the trend is like who they're doing it with. Females like to cheat with a friend, and men favoured strangers or work colleagues.
So if you're a man, you've got to be very cautious about their friends.
Well, they said the reason they're doing it is because they're bored with their marriage.
Ooh,
so
you've
got to keep them keen, and then you won't be in any kind of danger.
God, it's so
yeah, so mums.
Do you think they've come to some sort of arrangement?
Arrangements taken into...
mum or dad?
Well, I'm just thinking, if you've watched House of Cards, the latest season, there was an arrangement between the main couple where he's let's stay married because, you know, we've got all the stuff, we've built this empire together, or maybe you've got a family together, but...
Spoilers.
If the stuff I can't satisfy you with is something you want to get from somebody else, then...
Then do it.
Knock yourself
out.
That
would be a rare situation, though.
Yeah.
It's not an affair, is it? That's sanctioned.
That's sanctioned.
And like for females, surely it would be like emotional and attention because you can surely get the other thing from your husband. They're always keen.
Right. So you're thinking the...
It'll be like an emotional...
Okay.
Because they're having affairs with people they know.
It's the last person you'd expect, though. That's your last demo, surely.
Your mum.
Your mum's.
Your last demo. The last demographic.
Yes.
I like how you think of infidelity as a demographic.
I'm breaking it down into demographics.
Yeah.
But, you know, like...
Look, it'd be like grandma cheating. There'd be grandmas that fall into that age group. Imagine if grandma was...
I'd love it when you get a shock, when you're actually shocked that someone you held in high regard cheated.
Yeah.
Because it's possible for anyone, isn't it, really?
What if it was like, an old, like... Old granny.
That cheated on granddad.
Cheated on granddad. Oh. You'd break him.
Who would?
That would break granddad.
Oh, I thought you were saying grandma would break the guy she was sleeping with. I was like, Jesus, grandma. Probably, they're not far off because their bones get brittle, aren't they, when they're old people.
Yeah.
So, well, I'd like to see if anybody listening, if you call us on 0800-ZM or text 9696, who... cheated on their partner, but were like that you least expected it. The biggest surprise,
right,
of an affair.
Like, who was the most unlikely cheater?
Who was the most unlikely cheater that cheated? Because, and it doesn't have to be an age thing either. It could be somebody like,
just
that. What are you mouthing at me?
No, I don't want to say him because it's mean.
Okay, wait.
Kim.com.
What?
Like if he cheated, if Kim.com cheated on his now fiance,
because
that would be weird because he's you know, like batting.
Yeah, he's very bad.
Oh, so you're saying anyone that's batting?
Yeah, like right, why would you cheat just if you're already doing really well?
The most unlikely person to cheat that cheated.
Yeah.
Grandmas would, I mean, like the older would definitely be on the top of the list. That's super interesting.
Right.
Or like those prestigious people that hold themselves in a high regard.
Well, it's like when a politician does it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what?
Or not a priest. What are the ones that can marry? You know, like the leader of the church does it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, ugh.
Okay,
hypocrite.
So 0800 dials in him. You can text in now 9696.
Who cheated that you thought was the most unlikely person to cheat?
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
There's been stats out, and this is from Britain, that women, and specifically middle-aged women, are now the most likely to cheat in a marriage. Rather than men.
Only just, though.
Oh, yeah, 55%.
Only just. You're only just ahead of us. Like, if we, you know, knuckle down, we could probably catch up again.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is your year, though, woman. I think this is your year to take hold of the reins.
But it would be a bit of a shock if, like, that was, say, your mum or your auntie or someone.
Yeah.
And you just, like, maybe the last person you expect to cheat. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Who was the most unlikely cheater? What happened?
Some text messages in. Someone said, in our small community, he was kind of the leader, the self-appointed leader. It was the local school principal.
Right.
Everybody looked up to him.
Right. Okay.
Really liked him. But it turned out he cheated on his wife.
And just because he was a leader and everybody kind of dealt with him and looked up to him.
All respect was totally lost. Everybody thought he was above it, but totally did it. Who have we got on the phone?
Wow, they're just some juicy stories this morning. Hayley, what happened?
I went to my granddad's. I was about 13, and my grandma wasn't there anymore, and we just knew that my grandma had cheated on my granddad, and that was very unfortunate. And then we ended up meeting up with my grandma, and she had cheated on him with another female. And they were now partners, and they're still out here today.
Oh, wow. My God.
So were they the same age? Like, Grandma didn't have a toy girl, did she?
No. Grandma was, like, dating a girl that was, like, 3 years younger.
Right.
But grandmas are the ones you're least likely to expect to cheat, though, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when they've got, like, I've got, like, three uncles.
Oh, isn't it bad?
Married like, for like 20-something years.
But she obviously always...
Yeah, that's the same
had it,
thing
but just
it.
Society at the time wasn't ready to accept. You know, you got married to a man and you had children. Even if it was something you didn't really
want to do, yeah.
Wow. Good on grandma, though.
That's
it's a shame that it was cheating and it wasn't a more...
Yeah.
You know, clean cut on it, but good on grandma, finding a bit of happiness.
Anonymous, who was the most unlikely cheater? What happened?
What happened was this priest in my husband's church when he was young cheated with this lady in the church whose husband was dying of cancer.
Oh, God!
Oh, no!
That just went from bad to worse.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really bad.
This is why my life advice still is relevant. Never trust anyone ever.
No. So who knew about that? Everyone in the church?
Yeah, everyone, because after that they got married. They left the church and they got married.
Oh, so the husband died?
Yeah, the husband died, and after the husband died, they got married.
Wow.
Whoa.
Anonymous, thank you. This is like some kind of like Jeremy Kyle show episode, isn't it?
It really is.
Aaron, what happened? Who was the unlikely cheater?
Yeah, g'day, guys. It was actually my grandfather, but in the last couple of years, it was about 7-8 years ago, in his dying years, we were, like, surrounding him and, you know, he's, like, on his deathbed sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, to my mum, oh, yeah, Leslie, I've probably been meaning to tell you, but you've actually got a sister, a half-sister, and me and my mum were like, And we're like, no way, like, you know, this is granddad, like, you know, he's done so much for the community, said heaps of things, and we're like, oh, okay, well, when was this? He's like, oh, well, it was actually during World War II, he was staged in England.
Yeah.
And he was a navigator for the bombs.
Yeah.
And, he had a little bit of a fling with, a bit of a British person over
war
there.
War babies. Right. They were a big thing. War babies were pretty massive.
But did he keep in touch with them?
No. Well, it was only a fling for like a couple of years while he was stationed over
right.
there.
Right.
But he knew that there was a kid somewhere in the mix.
Well, you just leave and they'd assume you had died in a raid or something, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah, that's what he would have wanted. He probably didn't want to know and remember about it. But, that wasn't his first one, but that was his only one with another kid. But he did do it several other times, we found out.
Brendan drops a bombshell and
on
then he's
his
out.
Deathbed. Amazing. Right. Thanks for your call, Aaron.
Some text messages in. My school principal cheated on God. He was a Catholic priest, so he'd sworn off it.
Oh, right.
But then in his 60s, he met a lady that he liked more and got married to her.
Oh, good on him. Good. No,
unless God's popping down
here. He would have been like, what have I been missing out on all this?
Yeah.
The whole time.
Someone text message in. I work at a rest home.
Oh,
we have a husband and wife here. They share a room.
Yeah.
Been married for, somebody estimated, something like 60 years.
Yeah.
But he also has two girlfriends that live here as well that wifey doesn't know about.
I hear that those rest homes are dodgy places.
Yeah, like if an STI gets in, and I'm not talking to Subaru, it tears around.
Oh, yeah.
It gets through.
Imagine being like one of the nurses there and knowing that. But she's your wife for 60 years. What do you do down the corner?
He's sick of the wiring on, isn't he?
There'd be a bit of wiring.
a bit of nagging after 60 years.
It'd be like, you know, those rom-com movies where you're dating a few people and they all turn up at the restaurant at the same time, but it would be every night over Jell-O.
Yes.
Like, they would all be there at every dinner service.
Yeah. God.
But he's probably looking to pick up another one too, don't he?
Dirty dog, Granddad.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Spend the weekend in Central Otago, in Roxburgh specifically, the
lovely,
TV Valley.
Lovely Central Otago.
Yeah. Cherry season is coming to an end. You probably see cherries in the fruit shop. There's a bit of a window, really, isn't there?
Yeah, it's like December till now.
Over Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, a few less cherries, though, as Cherry Chaos is an event that happens down there where you do obstacle courses. It's basically like, because cherries are very them,
yeah.
They celebrate the cherry.
Mm.
And it's sort of like a festival. There's a massive obstacle course. There's pictures at our Facebook page of what you look like before and after running through a cherry-based obstacle course.
Are they stained?
Do you know, yesterday, even when I got home, I felt something in my ear and I dug around in there and a little bit of cherry was still in the ear from the day before. That probably says more about my
showering habits.
Yeah. Non-thorough washing of my body parts.
Because there was a point where you had to go through a tunnel of liquidy cherry.
Yeah. It was like, you know, in Shawshank Redemption, when he escapes from the prison, spoiler alert, he escapes from the prison through that poo pipe.
Yep.
Think that, but cherries. And they get into every orifice. But we had a great time. Did a little cycling, didn't we, down a track?
We did a bit of the rail trail.
Yeah, Megan, you judged preserves, cakes, slices and all
of the
above.
I was judging. I had to eat a lot of sweet things, but there was some delicious cakes down there.
It was really rural.
Yeah.
It was very rural.
Really, really rural. We tried to help out Central Otago with some rabbit shooting, but missed. All of them.
You went on two separate occasions and both times you came back with nothing.
It turns out when we got home, we did some target practice. The sight was off by about 2 foot.
Oh, okay.
So that's why we weren't hitting them.
Okay. Which is also a super handy excuse for why you missed something that was quite
close. And
you
went to the bathroom, Vaughn, but these two were like, Vaughn's not letting us have a turn with the
gun.
Yeah,
Vaughn didn't let us have a turn.
No, I did the gun carrying.
Yeah, but he didn't let us have a turn. And then at one stage, he just went off into the bush, and James and I were just standing there, just like,
I was stalking. Have you guys not seen? I was stalking the ridge. Like, I said to you guys, I'm going to stalk the ridge.
And James and I saw all the rabbits run away, and we were just like, well, he's wasting his time. He's stalking the ridge.
They didn't yell out, the rabbits are running, though, so I was still stalking the ridge.
You don't yell out when you're stalking the ridge.
But they're already running.
Yeah,
then
but the rabbits,
stalking obviously wasn't stalky enough.
It was quite a comical.
These guys were ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, so we did nothing for the rabbit population at all.
Spent a lot of time talking about shearing sheep in the Falklands over the weekend, more than I have previously in my entire life. I would say, but it was a very interesting chat.
And we had a few Auckland jokes. We put up with a few Aucklander jokes.
Yeah. Oh, everybody, when they introduced us, is very quick to say, oh, they're based in Auckland. None of them are from there originally. Like, it was almost like if they didn't put out
that. It was
like
a pass card.
Yeah. I guess so. But also, while we were there, we popped into the local radio station, TVFM, Teviot Valley.
It just kind of broadcasts to the local area.
Yeah.
And it's got a bit of a reputation.
Legendary local broadcaster, Shirl. whose name is just Shirl, by the way.
Yep.
No last name, like Madonna. She's become so synonymous with Shirl, she doesn't need any other names. Invited us in, but then walked away and they just left us to do her work at the radio station. So this was at Teviot Valley FM.
Kiss. Oh, what an absolute classic. That's Tom Jones, Kiss, on TVFM. Fletch, Vaughan and Megan here, taking over TVSM just for a break or two. And what an absolute pleasure it is to be here, Vaughan and Megan.
Yeah, fresh off the back of a couple of scones with jam and cream on them over at Molly Parker's place. And I tell you what, she puts on a morning tea, the likes of which I haven't seen for many years.
We heard from Auckland about this legendary baking, and I've got to say, those Belgian biscuits, absolutely divine.
And Molly gave us a wee takeaway container of those Belgian biscuits.
She was excited about the Belgian biscuits
making
it off Molly Parker's property.
Now, Shirl, are we actually on air at the moment? Because you've got a bit of a reputation of being off air.
Yes, I have got a wee bit of a reputation, but no, you are on air and I better not say anything.
Okay, we can carry on. Do you say, like the Valley's best music or something?
You have a tagline, Shirl?
Yeah, do you have a tagline? What's... You didn't make the tagline. Okay, what, the Valley's best music and the most entertainment?
Yeah, Teviot Valley. The T stands for Teviot Valley and top variety.
Here's a Nicky Moa. Dreams in my head. All right. See you at...
Really, really back to our roots there.
Yeah, but a rural regional radio. The 3 R's. It's
pretty low. It's just play what you want. She just plays what she wants.
Sometimes off YouTube, which
that was her secret.
It's illegal, but hey, we all do it. You just go like this. You just go. Prove it. And then the licensing people will actually go about proving it. So you're on your own now, Shirl. Thanks for having us.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughan and Megan, the podcast.
Bit of a break today, today for the country after the weekend of ferocious weather.
A reprieve.
A lot of trees coming down over power lines. 15,000 without power yesterday in Auckland.
It was flooding in Golden Bay.
Oh, it was chaos all over the country. Oh. Yeah, Nan's plastic bags that she hangs on the washing line because she can get another use out of them if she washes them. A few of those blew away.
Gone. I felt sorry for the people in Taranaki that had like their wedding marquee. That got blown away. The reception marquee.
Oh, well, they haven't been married.
I don't know.
What are you doing putting up a marquee in there? It's not marquee weather.
It's summer.
Even if there's a light breeze.
Well, I don't know.
A marquee becomes a huge sale.
What are you to do, though? Just try and get through it. You can't cancel it.
They put a bit of sand on the corners to hold it down in the flaps. What about that 250-ton buoy washing up?
Oh, yeah.
In Taranaki.
Oh, that was huge. It was like the size of a house.
What does it need to be that big for?
You see them out on, like in the water way out, and you're like, that looks tiny.
I've never seen one that looked anything like that. And they said, oh, it was destined for Port Waikato. What do they need one for? What's happening out there?
That's not a buoy. That's the size of my house. Like, I could live on
it's 250 tons.
Yeah.
And they just washed up on the beach.
Just got chucked up there by the storm. Mm. And to continue just the chaos and the damage and the heartbreak caused by the trees came down. Cars have been crushed. I've seen photos of cars crushed.
Yeah.
Megan lost her tomatoes.
Do not laugh.
She lost her. What kind of tomatoes were they?
Cherry tomatoes.
Oh, I love cherry tomatoes.
I've nourished those from a little baby.
Yeah.
It's been months and months.
Were you collecting those New World little plants?
No. I went to the garden centre and I bought a little seedling myself and I nourished it. I watered it every day. When I went away for Christmas holidays, I got someone to come along and water my cherry tomatoes. I had got an abundance of them, but none of them have yet gone red. There's one that's slightly orange.
Yeah, okay.
And then
so they're getting
home.
There. They're within like the week, 2 week period.
I've been so excited. No sprays or anything used.
Mm.
Came home, the whole thing's blown out of the ground.
How did it act like a sail?
I don't know. It got quite huge.
Yeah. You can't replant it or it's gone?
Well, no, and the main branchy bit has snapped.
Snapped off.
The lifeline.
Sometimes I was devoed.
Knowing, because something similar happened with my tomatoes this year. It was complete user error. Like I was trying to remove something and I broke off a tomato. Sometimes they'll stay alive even if they're broken.
Okay.
Just
like the trust tomatoes in the supermarket. Can I just pick them off and put them in the fruit bowl?
You could probably ripen them on the windowsill.
No, I always take those off at the supermarket because it's extra weight they charge you for.
What? You take the stalk off a Vine Ripens Trust tomato because you don't want to pay for the stalk.
Yeah, no, you got to weigh them, don't you? Not, they're very
Are
cheeky.
Are you serious?
They're you're very also cheeky not on the poverty those. Line. Like,
okay.
What is the saving? What is the average weight of a stalk from a Vine Ripens tomato?
But it's because you're small, serious?
Small grass. I am serious.
No, and you and take them off that because you want them to confuse them with just loose tomatoes. Because it's hard to see the difference between those. Tomatoes are always cheaper.
Are they? I don't know.
You're such a penny pincher. It's ridiculous.
Okay, but over your lifetime, if you add up how much those
probably
weigh.
Probably $20.
Well, I'm saving $20.
Over a lifetime.
Over a lifetime.
You pumped $20 into the pokies at the weekend.
Yeah, because I haven't seen pokies for ages. I was like, this is cool.
Well, and there goes your tomato savings.
When you bought your cider.
I won $11.
You didn't come out $11 up.
Oh,
you put in 20 and you cashed out 11.
So
you lost $9. So half your lifetime of tomato picking from this den is gone
but
now.
But I wouldn't have had that $20 for the pokies if I didn't rip off the stalks of my tomatoes before they weighed them and I paid for them.
You are so tight.
I should run some financial classes. This is great
like,
stuff.
That's exactly how you end up. So, like, I hear all these millennials complaining about not being able to afford a house, but are they taking the stalks off their tomatoes? You know, they love the look of the tomato in the copper basket, don't they, on the Vine Ripen.
Yeah.
But if they, just put them straight on the bench and took the thing off, they'd all have houses.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan's Community Notices.
Hello, welcome to Community Notices. This is a segment of the show where you've sent us unusual postings on your local Facebook page and then we read them out to the nation so that the nation can enjoy it, not just your specific area / neighbourhood / hobby group.
A lot of gold in there.
Let's go to Cambridge. This is the Waikato town of Cambridge, the Cambridge, New Zealand Grapevine / Info Sharing Group. This is particularly for intern Anya. Anya, can you hear me? You can hear me. Hi there, says Bridget. Just wondering if there are any stand-up paddleboarders around that would be keen to meet up for a social paddle at the lake in the evenings or the weekends? !
I'll travel.
Bit of a drive, but you've got the roof racks on the RAV4's roof for such events.
Exactly. It's hard to come by a keen paddler.
A what?
A keen paddler.
A keen paddler, like myself.
Companion.
Yeah.
But paddler.
Yeah.
You've merged two words, compadler. It's weird, but
it's
okay,
weird,
I've got to give you points. Yeah. That was some good Monday morning creativity.
Yeah, risk your life and go out at the weekend on your sup?
God, no.
No, it wasn't supping conditions.
Live a little.
No. And then die a whole lot. Next, let's go to secondhand books and for Otago University. This is to help people get books they need without paying the price for brand new textbooks at university. Very expensive.
People sometimes highlight the pages though, don't they?
Yeah, but then they've done all the work for you.
Oh yeah, good call.
Because it was the same course, so they've highlighted the important parts. Sophia writes, we'll trade a Physics 191 textbook for a 10-pack of long white vodkas, passion fruit only.
So cheap.
Oh, no raspberry.
Oh yeah, raspberry's
like
my favourite flavour of
that. No, the lemon lime's the best.
Oh yeah, that one.
The lemon lime's
good too. Passion fruit would be my third.
No, raspberry's the lowest.
No!
Raspberry's yuck.
Get out of here.
Any raspberry cordial or any raspberry flavouring that isn't an actual raspberry,
You think you know someone.
Yeah.
No, not a flavour, because it doesn't taste like raspberry half the time. It's just red. It tastes like red.
No, it tastes like raspberry. That's why those are yum.
Have you tried them? Have you tried raspberry?
Yeah, I've tried all three flavours. Okay. I can speak from experience.
Okay.
I'm not just having a guess here.
We are three basic bitches, with our RTDs.
Look, hey, if a man in his 30s when it gets white girl wasted, then I would recommend going with the lemon lime one.
Right.
Next, let's go to Porirua Buy Sell Trade. Sorry, this isn't buy and sell related, but can the screaming angry woman who just smashed in my neighbour's windows please come back and put my kids to sleep? Thanks a lot. Now I have to share the Snickers that I've been snapped eating by my kids. I've been saving the Snickers all week to demolish it on my own. Finally get some alone time and you've smashed the neighbour's windows and woken them up. That was out the gate, lady. I mean,
more upset about that they were busted eating their Snickers.
Yeah, than the smashed windows. Or your kids being terrified at the fact that they were just woken to the sound of shattering glass.
Yeah.
But these things do happen. From the Marlborough Cool Cat Chat. This is like, not specifically about cats.
Okay.
Malcolm will pay someone $30 if they vacuum my flat before the missus gets home with her cousin. You also have to say, I did the vacuuming, and then hang around for 20 minutes so I don't feel awkward being the third wheel. Is it weird that he'd feel like the third wheel with his own partner and her cousin?
Cousin, yeah, it is.
Oh. He shouldn't feel like the third wheel, should he?
And then how's he going to explain who this person is?
This person's just here, but I did the vacuuming. Like, it's
weird.
Really weird. Good luck. But he's not the only person looking to solve a problem before the partner gets home. David from the buy-sell swap Cambridge Te Awamutu in Hamilton area writes, I'm not selling anything. I'd like a new clothesline. I'm hunting for a cheap or free clothesline as I've, shall we say, mangled the last one. Would prefer it ASAP as my wife gets back from holiday on Friday, Saturday, if you can help me PM. And it's one of those old ones. I reckon he got it on the... got on the terps and tried to swing on it. Remember when you were a kid and you could hang on the rotating clothesline?
Yep.
And it kind of went a bit. Your mum was always like, get off your racket!
Yeah,
like,
or played Wheel of Goon.
Yeah.
Or was the clothesline.
If he played Wheel of Goon, it might have been more like keg of Wheel of Keg because it's absolutely mangled. See, David.
Wait, where do you get an old school clothesline from?
Blame the weather.
Oh, yeah, the weather.
Blame the weather if she got home after
just
the
like
storm.
Rip a couple of branches off some trees down the road.
Put it in there.
Yeah, put them in there and be like, oh.
Mangle it around.
And some sawdust.
And a trampoline. If you've got a trampoline, chuck the trampoline at it too.
Oh, you're going too far
And
now.
Then just be like, oh, yeah, such a bad weekend.
Yes.
It's like, at least, you know, we weren't without power though. And, you know, people lost cars
and stuff. Chest freezer still a frozen goods. So.
Yeah.
Positives. The Rolleston Elite community page. There's no post specifically, but someone has alerted me to this and the bio in it. This page was created to counter the seemingly uncontrolled and toxicity of the Rolleston community page that is currently in an operation and being infiltrated by bullying, harassment and uncultured people.
Ooh.
So if you're of Rolleston's elite, there's a new page set up straight for you. And let's finish on some nice news.
Okay.
From the Papakura and Takanini grapevine page, Rose writes, if anybody knows this guy and it's a basketball singlet with a number 10 on the back that says Abercrombie. It's a Breakers shirt.
Mm.
Please admire him for who he is. He just paid for a little old lady's groceries at Countdown Takanini.
Oh, I thought they'd found the singlet. And I was like,
No.
Right,
they took a photo of him at the checkout.
Oh,
kind
that's
of like
nice.
A creepy away a bit photo.
Right.
Zoomed in.
No, but they wanted to get his nice deed. That's nice. He's a nice guy,
though.
Well,
the old lady apparently forgot her wallet, and she just had a few things. Because, you know, old ladies eat like birds. Yeah. They don't really eat a lot. You made her day, and then Rose goes on to say, if you're single, I'd like to buy you a beer. Uh-huh. And I'll even buy you a better beer than the Lion Red you bought a box of.
He was outed buying Leon Rouge.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he's in Papakura and Takanini. I'm surprised it wasn't double brown.
That's very nice of him.
Very nice. So if you are in that area and you wear New Zealand Breakers? The basketball breakers, singlet with a number 10 on the back, and you paid for a little old lady's groceries, it's not gone unnoticed. Well done to you, sir. If you see anything on your local Facebook page, maybe it could be a good deed. Maybe we should try to do one good deed a time.
Yeah, just because the world's so a bit crazy
at the
moment.
Yeah, we need a bit more of the good deeds.
Okay.
Good deeds included. You can screen cap it and send it to our Facebook page, FEMZM.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
The Auckland police are searching for a woman. Now, it's quite serious because she's got a warrant for arrest for threatening to kill and do grievous bodily harm.
Oh, okay.
So she's quite,
she's bad news.
Dangerous.
She's bad news. They've released her name, Casey Williams. There's a photo of her and everything. But the headline was the part that really tweaked my interest. It said, Auckland police search for woman with missing part of ear. So that's become her defining feature.
Right.
How much of a missing ear?
I don't know because they don't go on to really go into too much detail other than missing the top part of her right ear. But whether that's like the whole half of it.
Right.
Or just like a flat, just the very tippy top.
But
that could be covered up with hair.
No, but noticeable enough to say there's a big chunk of ear missing.
Yeah.
If you see someone today with a big chunk of ear missing and she's a female.
That looks like this.
Call the police.
Yell Casey, and if she turns around, then
run. That's a good one. But then
I
wouldn't
be yelling
that
out
with?
Her name. Did you know like, what she's wanted for?
Casey, she's like, yes. You're like, seemed a little bit too polite for the threatening to kill part. Maybe it's okay. And if you're a Casey and you're out there with a missing top of your right ear, then
maybe just
I just let the police know that you also fit the description released by them. But it got me thinking, if you were on the run from the police, what would be your defining feature? Like, how would the police say that they were looking for you?
Well, Megan can't even run at the moment.
Yeah, mine would be like not running very fast with a limp.
Police looking for, middle-aged woman. Hobbling.
But then that's
hobbling,
the other thing.
Middle-aged woman.
Because it's much like the top of the right ear could be covered. You could just not run. You could just be walking and you can walk normally. Right. Your run's a little bit hobbly. But
I don't know. And can they do like a defining feature as someone's laugh?
Guffawing laugh. But then it's easy because you can
because I just go undercover and not laugh. But then what if I saw like a rerun of Friends or something?
Or there he is. Get him. Something really funny. And then you alert them. You're pretty much setting off your own burglar alarm.
Well, you're both. Oh, you wear hats though. I was going to say bald kind of, you know.
Rude.
Yeah. And also bald. There's heaps of bald guys.
Yeah.
So it kind of needs to be something.
Looks like Ben Barrington. But then.
Yeah, that would. That's what they'd say for you. They'd be like.
But I don't know if Ben Barrington's going like to get.
Well, no, he might get arrested.
Yeah.
He'll get arrested and he's probably... Oh, not that I've done anything illegal. This is all hypothetical, but I'm just saying then he's tarnished.
Well, no, that would be your one. Police are looking for Vaughan Alan Smith.
Yeah.
He looks like Ben Barrington from Shortland Street. Yeah. If you see him, call the police.
Okay, great.
That's your one.
Yeah. What? What's your one?
I don't know.
Police are looking for Voldemort with a nose.
I was going to say that, but I was
this
like, no.
This is getting real mean, guys.
We've been together all weekend. Don't call him Voldemort.
Right.
With a nose.
Who's going to do Megan?
Bags up.
Bags up.
You have to.
No, Caitlin, you've got to do Megan. Now, it doesn't have to be nice.
Beautiful.
No.
Early 30s. Oh, could be mistaken for late 20s.
Thank you.
Got a beautiful big diamond ring on her left hand.
She could take that off.
Got a great friend called Caitlin, who's also beautiful.
No one's on the run. By the way, I'm meeting Caitlin. That's not what people do when they're on the run.
They're not.
I like that.
You're not helping Caitlin.
All right, description. Okay.
Be honest.
I don't know. Brown hair. Wears lots of
makeup.
Here. Often wears a denim jacket.
Yeah, no one's brave enough to go.
Yeah, come at me.
We just don't want to deal with the fallout for the rest of today.
No one's kicking the pit bull in this situation. No one's kicking the pit bull.
Yeah.
But if you were on the run, I'd love to know. You can call us, 0800-ZM, text 9696. If you were on the run, what's your feature that the police would list in the headline looking for you?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because some people would have, might be missing a finger.
Yeah. Like you're just defining physical characteristic that the police would mention in the headline looking for you.
Okay, 0800-ZM, you can text 9696. If the police had to describe you on the run, what would it sound like?
What would be your description?
ZM's Fletch, Vaughan and Megan, the podcast.
We're talking about what the police would use to describe you if you were on the run. Currently, there's a headline, Auckland police search for woman with missing part of ear. Because that's her defining physical characteristic.
Yeah.
Without that, she'd just be just another person, I guess. Just another... someone on the run. So what's your what's your physical characteristic that the police would use to describe you? Some text messages in. Police are on the search for woman that has nose that resembles an anchor.
That's self-deprecating.
Although they do say my boyfriend says I have a nose that looks like it resembles an anchor. Grayson said police are searching for a man with long ginger hair. Is that people out with long ginger hair? Somebody else said, I got skin cancer last year. They took a piece of my arm and put it on my ear. So my description would be looking for a guy with a piece of his arm on his ear. Or just a mismatched piece of skin on ear.
Right.
Somebody else said, police are looking for an overweight white guy with a Polynesian sleeve tattoo. many people coming in.
Right.
With how they would be described in a police headline.
Finn, what would your description be of what do you look like?
Where's Waldo or Wally?
Why do you look like where's Wally?
Yeah, I've got circular glasses and every time I go out with stripes, I'm just get... Found
you. No, you gotta, Finn, if you look like Wally, you gotta get rid of the circular glasses or the stripes.
You can't wear stripes, Finn, if you look like where's Wally.
And
you know what? Stripes have been big the last few years.
They have.
Everyone's always wearing stripes.
Yeah. So I guess it's just unfortunate, Finn.
Yeah. It was uniform a couple times, so...
Oh, you couldn't help it.
Oh, no, like you're in a sports uniform.
Who says found you?
And every time they're running back after scoring a goal, they're like, found you.
Yeah. Amazing. Finn, thanks for your call, mate.
No worries.
Mark, if you were on the run, how would you be described in a police headline?
Looks like Ali G without the bling bling.
Honestly, you look like an out of costume. Do you have the goatee?
No, but when I do have it, it's a striking resemblance.
Really?
Basically, I have won countless awards of dress-up parties when I dress up as Ali G, so...
Really?
Oh, okay.
Really? Yeah. Give us your booyakasha then.
Booyakasha.
What? Yeah, you said it wrong.
Did I say it wrong?
You did. Thanks, Mark.
Sorry, guys. I've embarrassed us all, haven't I?
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. Some other text messages in. Somebody said, looks like police are looking for a man that looks like David off Game of Guess Who, which is, I've looked up David. He's bald with a very red, vibrant red beard.
Oh, okay.
So that's who they look like, and that's who how they would be described. Police on the lookout for a woman with massive boobs who won't fit into any top.
Text message sucks.
Somebody else said, police are on the lookout for a woman constantly in gym pants with severely mismatched eyebrows. But they've said about that about
they've
themselves.
They've said that about themselves, so that's all right.
Have you got one for me, Fletch?
I thought you'd come up with one. You
well,
could
I
come
don't
up
know
with
why.
One.
Yeah, because then we can't get in trouble because it's
Does
you.
Does
that
mean
said
I'm
it.
A basic bitch? Because I can't, like, think of brown hair, like.
This police is looking for just a plain old
basic
white woman. I mean, that's just you, really, isn't it?
Yeah, there's heaps of them.
There's heaps of them.
There's heaps of them.
No, I'm not doing that.
Nah, neither. I'm not. I'm not touching it. We'll just pretend it didn't happen.
Okay.
You just put your biggest insecurity in your mind in that sentence, and then don't worry about us.
Okay.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan, the podcast.
Fact of the day. Today's fact of the day is about popsicles, and the original name for popsicles was Epsicles. That's today's basic fact of the day.
Okay.
Popsicle's original name was Epsicles.
Why?
I thought when I told you this, it might have been warmer and stuff, and it might have been real, like, popsicle weather, and it would have got everybody in the mood for a popsicle, but...
But not today.
Sadly, not really, but better than yesterday. The reason is they were invented by a man called Frank Epperson.
Epperson. Okay.
So that's where Epsicles come from. It was the first part of his last name. In 1905, when Frank was 11, he was making himself a drink from, like, a powdered... Like a Raro.
Yeah.
Like a powdered thing, and he put it in a cup and he was stirring it with a stirring stick.
Uh-oh.
And he was outside and his mum was like, you get in here. And he put the cup down, went in, and then never went back for it. Overnight, the temperature dropped below zero. He went back out in the morning and grabbed it. He was like, it's frozen. Pulled it out. It slid straight out of the cup. And he was like...
What an absolute accident.
Delicious. Now, that was in 1905, and then until 1923 he thought about it. So quite a while, nearly 20 years. 18 years later, he patented... Oh, I can never say this one.
Patented.
He wrote to the patent office and said, frozen ice on a stick, Bagsy's on that. And he started making them and calling them Epsicles. However, his children called them Popsicles because he was their pop.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
and they were Pops.
Cute.
Popsicles. Because they were like icicles.
Yeah.
Popsicles. And when he went to sell his patent a few years later, people were like, well, you know, popsicles. He's like, I call them Epsicles. Kids call them popsicles. They're like, whoa, what was that last one? Popsicles. Okay.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's us. We're buying it and we're going to call them popsicles. And that's how popsicles became popsicles, not Epsicles.
That's so cute.
Because they're called popsicles here, right?
So, yeah, yeah.
How does that work?
There are popsicles, but not every. It's like how you call. You know what's that term? Is it when glad wrap?
Right.
You don't. It's plastic cling film.
Right. Yeah.
But you just call it glad wrap regardless, even if it's not the brand
yeah,
of glad wrap.
Yeah, but they call them. Don't tip-top.
Yeah, but we do
them.
Have popsicles.
But how do they? He painted them.
He sold the patented. He sold
right.
it.
Right.
And now it's owned by Unilever.
Right.
The envelope people.
No, Unilever do.
I know they do everything.
Everything like.
But they also do
Everything.
Envelopes. My first experience with Unilever was their envelopes.
Right.
That you'd
okay.
lick and stick down.
Right.
And then they wouldn't stick down. You'd be like, there's no way this business is staying a business. And then it turns out they are a business.
You're right.
So
okay.
they own them. So yeah, they own the parent company that sells us popsicles here.
Right.
But it's become synonymous with frozen ice, flavoured ice on a stick, hasn't it?
That's so cute.
So after Frank Epperson left some out in the ice and in the cold and it froze into, on a stick, that's how we got Epsicles, and then they were renamed Popsicles because he was someone with pop that made them. So today's fact of the day.
You just said it, didn't
No, I didn't. That was a whole thing. Push it in. Popsicles were going to be called Epsicles. Fact of the day.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast.
Yesterday, over the weekend around the world, there was a powerful women's march. This was to against like Donald Trump's inauguration, rebuking like all these different things he's claimed to be bringing in. It's very like important to read into why they were all taking to the streets, not just for women's rights, for trans rights, for Blacks' rights, for
disabled people's rights.
Yeah. Mm. But when I was looking at my feed yesterday, some of these signs, not only powerful but quite humorous in the
good signs, March. Great signs.
Yeah.
Clever signs.
So we've collected a few of them. I'm going to read out some of these signs from the Women's March around the world yesterday. Starting with probably my favourite of the whole lot. Girls just want to have fun, demental rights.
Good. Brilliant.
Saw this in a few, what do you call them? I was going to say incantations, so that spell. Like a few different ways. The fundamental human rights, but always starting with the girls just want to have fundamental something rights.
Yes, we are snowflakes and winter is coming.
I like that.
Game of Thrones. Because
that's what people call them, snowflakes, because they're so delicate and, you know, easy. But enough snowflakes cause an avalanche, don't they?
They do. We shall overcome with a picture of
the comb over.
Donald Trump's comb over.
My favourite was, now you've pissed off grandma. Like, there was heaps of those old ladies carrying them. Now you've got a pissed off grandma.
Yeah.
You've really made Nana mad. Like,
and there was a lot of older women holding up signs like, I can't believe we're still protesting this.
Yeah. With a few expletives.
Swearies at the end of it. Donald Trump uses Comic Sans.
That's a great insult.
Great.
If someone said that to me, I'd be like,
I do not.
And then a few like real simple ones, but I felt they were really powerful. Trump skis and jeans, and nobody likes you. Simple.
Nobody likes you. Very to the point.
Tweet others how you want to be tweeted. And
that's a good. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. I didn't come from your rib. You came from my vagina.
Also,
I like this one. Tiny hands, huge a-hole. Huge.
A huge cross-stitched sign that said, I'm so angry I cross-stitched this just so I could stab something 3,000 times.
Yeah.
It's a really nice cross-stitch job as well. A young lady with Down syndrome had a sign that said, don't make fun of people who are different, Donald Trump. Be helpful, be kind, be like me. So there's a kind of the march, while, about women's rights and how it's kind of like a bunch of old white dudes making decisions about women's parts that they don't even have.
Yeah.
That was the main, but a lot of protesting on a whole about.
Oh, the crowds are amazing to see.
Huge numbers of people, more than the inauguration.
He was well aware of it yesterday because he tweeted, I watched the protest, but I was under the impression that we just had an election. Why didn't these people vote?
He's something, eh?
Taunting. Yeah.
We were served a lemon, but we'll make lemonade. That's another sign that was
some
there.
Great signs.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting 4 years.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan, the podcast.
Last calls. We're going to start with you, Jane. Jane, what's your story for last calls?
I was just at a charity box fight on Saturday night.
Okay. Just turn your radio down, mate.
Sorry, buddy.
Just feeding back to us here. All good?
Oh, jeez.
We've lost him.
He's fallen.
We've lost him.
No, I'm here, mate.
Oh, okay. You're there. You didn't fall. Thank God.
So I was at a charity box on Saturday night, and one of the boys who was sitting up on one of the flash tables up on the stage went to talk to someone that was down on one of the bottom tables, and just as he leaned over, completely slipped, fell, and landed on the whole table. Took out all the glasses when he stood up again. But missed every single glass as he fell.
Oh, what? So did, like, fell from the ring?
Into the fancy...
No, so he had, like, all the real expensive tables were really close to the ring.
Yeah. Right.
And so he had the expensive table, and he had a couple of drinks, So when he leant over to talk to people that were at the bottom of the stage, he had slipped and just fell on the table.
Oh. Right in the fancy seats where everyone's wearing suits.
That's more like wrestling than it is boxing.
It was just as entertaining. It was like a little stand-up show.
Yeah. Stand will fall down show, even.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. Sar, what's your story for Last Calls?
Well, when I was 8 years old, I thought it would be a great idea, like when I got out of the bath, to wipe my bum on the window, and the window smashed and I had to get 9 stitches on my bum cheek.
What, like you were mooning someone?
Well, I don't know. I was like really hot and the window was cold and I was like, I don't know, it just seems great.
Hot bum, cold window. Was it too much pressure applied or was the drastic change in heat that smashed the window?
I think so.
Oh, wow. All right, wait there. Trey, what's your story for Last Calls?
Oh, hey there. So a while ago, me and my sister had to go with my mum to work. And being kids, we didn't really want to go. So she kind of bribed us to go.
Yep.
So on the way home from her work, we went into the $2 shop.
Yep.
I got a little pool table, but my sister got a little cell phone.
Okay.
You know the small little silver batteries that come in?
Oh, my God. Those things are the button batteries.
Mm. Yeah, button batteries.
They're very dangerous for little kids.
Yeah.
So we were driving home, and suddenly my sister blurted out, started crying, "Oh, Mum, I've got a battery in my nose." So she had thought, like, she's like being a kid, she's like, "Oh, what does this smell like?" So she sniffed the battery. It went halfway up her nose.
Oh.
And we went into the hospital later on, and it ended up burning a hole between her two nostrils.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Go on.
Oh, yeah. So the acid leaked out. And this is when she was about 5 years old. She's 15 now. And to this day, she still has a hole between her two nostrils.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
A battery did in 5 minutes what cocaine takes a lifetime to do there. So don't sniff batteries, guys. Don't sniff batteries. Because if you swallow those things, the fluid around it, because it's positive on one side and negative on the other, right? I saw a thing about how dangerous they are. Because they swallow them and it completes the circuit and it breaks the battery down and it just...
Horrible. You.
Burns you from the inside out. It's insane. You've got to be so careful with those little batteries.
All right, it's time now for the Tribal Council to vote now for our favourite story.
Waiting on Fletch.
Some stunned look on his face.
Votes
are counted for. Sar, congratulations. Your 9 stitches now worth it.
Do you have a scar on your bum?
I won.
Yeah, you won.
You've won a $100 Charlotte Lane clothing voucher. You can spend that at charlottelane.co.nz.
I want to know, do you have a scar on your bum?
Yes, I have like 2 scars on my bum actually, and I still even have the 9 stitches to this day.
Well, you kept them
in there.
What?
Would you keep them in a little container when you had them taken out?
Yeah, they kept them in a container for me.
Oh, that you still had stitches in you.
Yeah, I was like, you should get those taken out now. I think you're supposed to leave them just over a week or something, aren't you?
That was the Fletch, Vaughn and Megan podcast. For more, catch them every morning from 6 and check them out on Facebook. ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. ZM.